We live in a world of words. No matter what happens, there's a word for it. Some words mean a great deal to us. Words such as love, joy, happiness, encouragement, ability. But one word controls them all. Attitude. This afternoon, I'm going to speak briefly on the subject of attitude. What is attitude? How does it affect our calling? Could our attitude keep us out of the kingdom? Webster defines attitude as a manner of acting, feeling, or thinking that shows one's disposition, opinion, etc. Spiritually, we tend to be concerned with the general mental and an emotional position we take toward others, their doctrines, circumstances, their trials. When we evaluate someone, we frequently note whether the individual has a good or bad attitude. As a former business owner, I would strongly consider an applicant's attitude when filling a position. An enthusiastic worker with a positive attitude is an asset to the company, while an unhappy employee who complains all the time will cast a negative reflection. We're all very aware that God calls us from different backgrounds, and we know He's very patient with us. God views us and our attitude much the same as we view those we deal with. We could go so far as to say that if over the years we fail to develop a positive, thankful attitude about what God is doing in our lives, we may not be in His kingdom. With attitude being so important, let's consider Jonah's approach to his calling and the work God gave him. We recall that God calls Jonah to perform a work, to warn Nineveh that their sins had come to his attention and that he would deal with them. Instead of yielding to God and doing the commanded work, Jonah boards a ship and flees to Tarshish. His attitude leads to disobedience. We all know what follows. After several miracles, God finally forces Jonah to do exactly as He had commanded him. Upon completing God's commission, Nineveh repents and receives a reprieve from destruction, much to Jonah's resentment and disgust. We could derive from this that Jonah had a very bad attitude, which leads us to the question, would Jonah be in the kingdom of God? What position in the kingdom would God consider appropriate for Jonah to fill? Will God accept people with attitudes like Jonah's in the kingdom at all? Let's put ourselves in God's place for a moment. How would we evaluate Jonah? The congregation of Israel in the wilderness had no water to drink. And the people gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron, whining, complaining. God tells Moses to take his rod and speak to the rock, and it will yield its water. Numbers 20, verse 8. In great frustration and anger, Moses says, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Moses then takes his rod and strikes the rock twice, and water flows from the rock, enough to feed Israel and all their livestock. Verse 11 and 12, or 10 and 11 are there. But this is not what God had commanded him to do. In part because of Moses' rotten attitude at this point, God denies him entry into the promised land. Verse 12, Aaron is included in this curse. Verse 24, what a blow this must have been to them. All of it is a result of allowing a wrong attitude to provoke them to anger. Brethren, these examples are given to prove that even God's chosen are not immune to attitude problems. James gives us a formula to help us keep our attitudes in check. Let's turn to James, the first chapter. James 1. And we'll read verses 19 and 20. James 1, verses 19 and 20. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Being slow to wrath is learning to restrain our tempers and any wrong attitudes. When we allow anger to rule our lives, our tendency will be to break God's laws rather than keep them, and to contend with ministers and brethren. When we allow wrath or poor attitude into our thinking, doubts about God's instructions creep in, and disobedience often results. Proverbs 14, verse 29. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. So for many of us, it's our disposition, our acting, our thinking that needs to be altered or changed in order to develop a positive Christian attitude. I have 7 points or keys I'd like to present that hopefully will help us make that change. Number 1, come to understand that God knew what He was doing when He called you. Psalm 65, verse 4. Remember, God does not call us to fail. Number 2, complete your purpose in life. 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Number 3, come to realize God loves you personally. God loves you whether you're good or bad, although He would prefer us to be good and to set a right example and make Him proud. Romans 8, verses 31 through 39, paraphrasing, God's love is everlasting. Number 4, we must learn to accept the trials God has allowed in our life and strive to overcome. 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Number 5, make up your mind it is worth it. And never give up. Matthew 24, verse 13, he who endures till the end shall be saved. Number 6, make sure you learn to use daily prayer to overcome negative thoughts. Ephesians 6, verse 13, New International Version, Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And number 7, and this is so very important, develop close friends in God's church that can help you when you're down. Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one. Let me quickly go through these points for those that are taking notes. Number 1, come to understand that God knew what He was doing when He called you. Number 2, complete your purpose in life. Number 3, come to realize God loves you personally. Number 4, we must learn to accept the trials God has allowed in our life and strive to overcome. Number 5, make up your mind it is worth it and never give up. Number 6, make sure you learn to use daily prayer to overcome negative thoughts. And number 7, develop close friends in God's church that can help you when you're down. Sir Walter Scott once said, success or failure in any undertaking is caused by mental attitude, even more than by mental capacities. Brethren, having a right attitude is of the utmost importance to one called by God. If our attitude is poor, we may have a difficult time learning and may reject God's kingdom. On the other hand, if our attitude is good, we'll be thankful to God for all He does for us, and will cheerfully work to take on His mind and nature. What about Jonah? Did Jonah repent? No one knows for sure what took place after we leave Jonah sitting, filled with self-pity and feeling sorry for the plant that had withered. But knowing that God is love and wants to lose no one, it's nice to think that indeed Jonah finally learned the lesson of having a right attitude. So what's the lesson for us today? We too can allow our human nature to rule us through a flawed attitude, giving in to rebellion and anger. Or we can humble ourselves before God, sincerely asking for a positive and right attitude. God gives us the freedom of choice. But for a true Christian, there's only one choice,